Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from The Morning Show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes. I'd like to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. AFR.net, any podcast platform, or at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, my book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now available on Audible. So come join us at Sandy Rios 24/7, and remember, God's Velvet Hammer, available at Audible.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Wednesday, November the 13th, 2024. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Howdy, howdy.
I think if Steve Jordahl is going to get the Paisley label, I think we got to come up with something for Ed, because you can't see this even if you're watching, but he comes in here with a stack of cough drops every show.
Yeah.
So you got to,
the cough drop kid or what?
I don't know. That's what we're here to discuss.
Well, actually, I try to leave that to, yes.
We're here to discuss this.
I try to leave it to personal clothing style.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's too far. Yeah.
But Ed is getting better.
Okay.
He's getting over some things.
Why are you talking about you like this?
Because
I don't know. I don't know what I did to these guys.
No, I don't know.
No. Wesley started this. Yeah. I'm just finishing it for him.
Yeah.
I'm praising Ed because he had this thing about lining up the cough drops.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Just perfectly before the show.
That's right.
And now anything goes.
There's a wad. I have a wad of them.
For those,
and let me explain why
please
I changed.
Do, I think our listeners deserve to know why this 2 minutes of the show is being devoted to cough drops.
Because I was tired of the abuse. Not just the verbal abuse, because I happen to like orderly things. Right. And I would line. I had 3 lines of cough drops, okay? And I would even adjust them if I removed one. But not only the verbal abuse, but I would come in sometimes and they would just be scattered all over the place.
Who would do that to
because
you?
Because childishness
right.
goes on
like
inside
a schoolyard bully.
That's right.
Let me end with this. I just want to defend myself. That was a compliment to you because you're a DC Marvel guy and you need a nickname. And so I was just looking for a nickname for you.
Okay.
That's it?
Captain Cough Drop.
No, I don't want to be Captain Cough Drop, but I don't mind. I'm Batman. mind that.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with the cough drop.
We'll move on.
Okay. We'll state this, and then we'll move on. Ed likes cough drops, and he keeps them here in the studio, several of them, just in case he has a
multitude.
Coughing attack.
Ten a day.
You know, really, I don't care.
He counts them in his calorie count.
These are sugar-free.
Okay. Yeah,
it's a bit of a security blanket.
I was just going to say, I don't think the Bible says a word about how many cough drops a man.
Amen, brother.
A man sucks on during the day. So to each his own. Okay.
Right, fair enough.
I don't want anybody counting my cups of coffee.
No nickname for you. I thought I was helping.
All right. So
not like we don't have anything else to talk about.
Amen. We are loaded with stuff today.
Good news today. Loaded with a lot of good news.
Yes, we are. By the way, Dr. Alex McFarland will be with us at the bottom of the hour, so we look forward. We don't know what we're going to talk to Alex about, so we'll see how that goes. All right, so what is leading the news, Fred?
What is leading the news, and I guess I can describe it with the headline that's heading the AP stories on AFN.net right at this moment, because I just put the story on there. Trump makes a victor's return to Washington to meet with Biden and GOP lawmakers. It's quite a scene at Andrews Air Force Base this morning as Trump's plane arrived there, first time back in D.C. And as president-elect, he's gone downtown. He met with House Republicans this morning, got a standing ovation, and we're told he said something along the line that's nice to win. So meeting with them, and later on, he's going to be meeting with Senate Republicans, but they're kind of busy at the moment. because they are picking a replacement for Mitch McConnell. And we can talk a little bit more about that. And then when that's done, he'll be meeting with President Joe Biden at the White House, even though they have exchanged some bitter words in recent months. They apparently will have a nice meeting, and it'll be welcome back to the White House, and they'll have a discussion on current domestic and foreign policy.
Are they really going to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, according to the Associated Press.
In front of everybody?
Not in front of everybody. Oh, no. The reporters will be chased from the room.
Okay, so this is an American tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter how vitriolic a campaign will be, between the Democrat and the Republican. They always have this sort of meeting, which symbolizes the peaceful transition of power, as they say. And Trump is in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
President-elect Trump, meeting with House leaders, with House Republicans, I guess.
Yes.
And then with, as you say, Senate Republicans. And then it says on CNN any moment Trump and Biden to meet at the White House. So
yes.
I don't know what Hitler and Biden will talk about.
That is strange.
Biden never called Trump Hitler.
But he did call him a threat to democracy, or is that just Kamala?
Oh.
Kamala,
I don't know. He has.
Biden has his other versions of saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he didn't amp it up quite. He did call Trump supporters garbage. I know that, but I mean, okay. But I just think it's interesting that I think Kamala Harris was worse than Biden in the name calling, but that's just my opinion. Go ahead. You were going to say?
No, it is at least a good sign that they will meet as per the tradition, the peaceful transfer of power, and the tradition of the outgoing president sitting down with the incoming president.
All right, what was what was the final electoral college difference?
312 was Trump and 208 or something. I'll get the
so it was a blowout.
It was a blowout.
Whoever won, who won a Nevada and Arizona?
Trump did.
Good.
He won every single swing state.
Mm-hmm. It was 312 to 226. I was off. 312 to 226. And as you said, it took 3 or 4 days for them to finalize Arizona and Nevada, but when it was all said and done.
Pull up that map, Ed.
Well, I got it right here. He ended up winning by 6% in Arizona. Six. Remember, it was supposed to be 1% difference.
Yeah.
Nevada, he ended up winning in 3%.
How did Trump do in California?
He got 38% of the vote, and he got 5.2 million, and Kamala got 8 million.
Can the rest of the states just go ahead and vote California out?
I mean, yeah, right, exactly.
I don't know. They produce a lot of food.
Well, that's where the conservatives live.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Right. Where the sane people live is in the Central Valley. Yeah, they're the one that made all the food.
I don't know if this is a surprise to y'all, to me, but Kamala only won the state of New York by 800,000 votes. Wow, I say only. That's a lot.
No, that's not a lot. And what was the final score in New York?
55 to 44. But see, there was also that third party that took up a good bit, too.
By the way, let me just say this about California. There are a lot of good people who live in California that I know personally, and I'm just teasing about kicking them out.
But the few that I know would agree with you, and they would move.
Oh yeah,
kick them out, and I'll move.
Yeah, the lefties.
My point is, they understand what your sentiment.
Yeah, the lefties want out. a lot of them said, you know, they were leaving if Trump was elected. So
a lot of them too. The ones that own businesses, they don't like the policies because they're constantly squeezed. You know, you got to, hey, look, we're going to raise the minimum wage to $50. I'm speaking with hyperbole here, but the policies of that state crush small businesses.
Well, and also you got to look at how many businesses and people have left over the last 5 or 6, 7 years because of the extreme liberal policies of the state of California. All right, so you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Now, what I was very excited about yesterday, the news that Mike Huckabee, our friend and the former governor of the state of Arkansas, will be the next ambassador to Israel.
Yes, absolutely. It's exciting. Former Southern Baptist preacher, former governor of Arkansas, a man who everybody says loves the state of Israel. And so very exciting to see someone like that. I know the people of Israel will welcome that. But no, he is a great pick. He has led many tours to Israel over the years and always has been an unapologetic supporter of Israel. I expect when the confirmation, though, comes up, that he'll get a lot of questions, especially from Democrats. Okay, we all know that you support Israel, but what about the Palestinians?
Yeah, he'll have a good answer for that.
Yeah, he will.
I'm sure he will. Mike Huckabee. I call him Mike because, I mean, we don't talk, you know, every year, maybe once every two or three years, but I do know him, and he and my dad were really good friends.
Yep.
So it's good to see Mike Huckabee. If you could ask Mike Huckabee what is one job you would want if you weren't president of the United States, he would probably say U.S. ambassador to Israel.
Exactly, yeah. When I saw that, I thought that could not be a better pick, especially coming from our side.
Yes.
I mean, to know his history, being a pastor.
Right.
Anyways, dream team.
Yeah.
Yes.
Could be a better pick.
And, of course, his daughter, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the governor of Arkansas right now, very proud of her dad. Cut number 10.
My dad was just nominated as President Trump's ambassador to Israel. I had the chance to go to Israel for the very first time with my dad when I was 11 years old, and it literally changed my life. There's no greater supporter and nobody that has a greater understanding of our two nations' unbreakable bond. And there is probably a little bit of bias, but there's no one who will do a better job in this role. Congratulations, Dad. We're all very proud of you.
Amen and amen.
All right, what else was announced yesterday in terms of people on the new Trump team?
Well, the one that's getting a lot of discussion is President Trump's appointment or his desire to have a young man by the name of Pete Hegseth to be the next Secretary of Defense. Now, if you're a regular Fox viewer, you have seen Pete Hegseth on that network for the last 10 years. You may not be aware, perhaps, that he has a military background. He was a National Guard captain. He served in Iraq, served in Afghanistan, active duty there. But most recently, he has been a Fox host, but also a very well-known advocate for our military and a very sharp critic of the wokeness that he feels has taken over at the Pentagon. So this is one that's going to be very interesting. We've heard some rumblings even amongst some Republicans that they think he doesn't have the experience to be the Secretary of Defense. But others are saying a pair of fresh eyes, a guy who does have some military background, but also is understanding of the problems with inside the Pentagon, and we've talked about it on this program many times. Here's a little bit of what Pete Hegseth has had to say in the past about the problems inside the military. Cut number 12.
There's a chance to course correct it, but it would take a new Trump administration going after it really hard.
How would they correct it?
Well, first of all, you got to fire, you got to fire the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and you got to fire this. I mean, obviously, you're going to bring in a new Secretary of Defense, but any general that was involved, general, admiral, whatever that was involved in any of the DEI woke, it's got to go. Either you're in for war fighting, and that's it. And that's the only litmus test we care about. You got to get DEI and CRT out of military academies, so you're not training young officers to be baptized in this type of thinking. And then, you know, whatever the standards, whatever the combat standards were, say, in, I don't know, 1995. Let's just make those the standards. And as far as recruiting, to hire the guy that, you know, did Top Gun Maverick and create some real ads that motivate people to want to serve. And there's lots of other ways in which you could identify who gets promoted and what, but there's an ethos change. I mean, there's a reason we're not, people don't want to serve because they don't trust that their senior leaders are going to have their best interest in mind in combat. I know there were mistakes made on our tours all over the place, mm-hmm. but I at least, for the most part, had a sense that my senior leaders were committed to the completion of the mission for the right reasons. And maybe there were strategic differences and all that other stuff, and it wasn't always perfect, but that trust is broken, and you have to reestablish that trust by putting in no-nonsense warfighters in those positions who aren't going to cater to the socially correct garbage.
So if you want to know his philosophy, what he's going into this job, what his thinking is, you just heard it.
Okay, so, pardon me. So President-elect Trump, these announcements keep coming every day about what his new administration, his new team, if you want to call it that, is going to look like. Mm-hmm. And so this is a shocker.
Yeah,
to
this
me.
Would be a surprise.
This is a shocker. Pete Hegseth, Hegseth, who I know people who know him and know him well, and I've seen him on Fox News, as we all have. He's been on there for years, right? Mm-hmm. He was on The Weeknd as a co-host.
Co-host, that's correct. Fox and Friends.
So he is very, very knowledgeable about the United States military. He did serve in Iraq.
In Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. I think he reached the level, somebody said, of
captain.
Captain. Mm-hmm. However, the reason I say it's a shock is I can't remember a Secretary of Defense being, A, this young, but I don't know them all, and B, this inexperienced at working at the Pentagon, for example, moving up the ranks, so to speak. Now, I'm not saying he's not capable. I'm just saying that he's going to get drilled when he gets before that. Is it the Senate or the House or
Well, he'll or have joint to be unless it's a recess appointment. He would have to be confirmed by the Senate.
As Secretary of Defense, that's a cabinet level position. We're talking Colin Powell type.
Well, the current Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, retired four-star general.
Yeah, it's those type of people, generals, who usually reach the level of being Secretary of Defense. Again, I'm not saying that Pete is not, and I don't know him personally. So
I think the way you're saying it is fine. It's just okay, a surprise. Like you said, I mean, I saw it too. I was like, oh, yeah. Wow, that's it. You know, so it's a surprise. But like you said, I like how you're also caveat that is we're unsure if he's capable to do it. One thing we do know is he's saying the right things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so.
I mean, absolutely. Everything he just said a while ago.
Is amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Webb, what do you think?
I think he's going to have a hard time being confirmed. Okay. Now, this is sidestepping the question about whether the Senate, even Senate Republicans, are going to allow the president, President Trump, President-elect Trump, to use recess appointments, which give you someone automatically, they come into the cabinet. You don't have to wait for the Senate to be in session, and then they have a 2-year trial run before they need to be officially confirmed, up to 2 years. So setting aside that, if they have to go through the confirmation process, I think this is going to be a hard sell. And I'm with you guys. I loved everything Pete Hegseth said. I think whoever is Secretary of Defense, it may very well be Pete Hegseth, but they need to dismantle this CRT, DEI garbage, which is going to do nothing but or continue to erode our fighting potential. All right. Because as someone once said, the military exists to break things and kill people. That's the job they have.
Yep.
And people may say, well, that's a shame. We should all live in peace. Yeah. Okay. Well, one day the world will be at peace when Jesus comes back. But before that, you have militaries that break things and kill people. And they need to be able to do that efficiently. And so I think he's going to have a hard row to hoe, even convincing Republicans. Now, I was just looking up past secretaries of state. They're not all military people. Right. I don't think like Caspar Weinberger was a military person.
That's a good point.
There can be
someone who's good at administrating.
Yeah, they got to know what their.
What about Gates? I don't think Gates was a military guy. The guy who served under Bush, who was the president of Texas A&M before he went up there.
That's a good question.
So you're right. To your point, doesn't have to be a general.
And the reason we're spending so much time on this particular cabinet nominee from President elect Trump is because he's the only one that we're looking at saying this may be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
But the rest of them.
But to your point, let me just say Bob Gates was an American intelligence analyst and university president, but not military as far as I can tell.
But I think it's another demonstration of a new way of thinking.
I agree with that.
J.D. Vance is only 40 years old.
That's true.
Hegseth is 44.
Right.
So J.D. Vance is one heartbeat away from the presidency in a few months.
That's true.
So I just want to make sure they all have their driver's license. I'm talking about the new people on the Trump team.
Hey, but hold on now. We've also joked about how old a lot of the people have been in politics lately, too. Yeah. So this is quite a shift. Now, it's pretty radical compared to some of those that serve in Washington, D.C., but at the same time, we gave people a hard time for that reason, too.
Let's move on to Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk.
Fred did have one thing to add to this.
Well, I think it's also the influence of Don Jr. on his dad.
Yeah,
Don Jr.
He's running the White House right now.
Well, he's basically running the transition operation.
Yeah, he is.
Well, and that's playing the long game, too, by getting young blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other thing is Pete
Hegseth.
He has a lot of children.
Yeah.
Small children, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they live in the Nashville area.
Lives up in the Nashville area.
Well, no. So, anyway, we'll see how it goes. I love his worldview and his goals, and he is a Christian man. So all that I like about him, and I agree with that. It might be hard for him to get through. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Now, Elon Musk, who also has a bunch of kids, and Vivek Ramaswamy, I don't know how he's reproducing there, but those two gentlemen are going to have a non-official?
It's not a cabinet position.
Okay.
But they are going to head up a new, what's called, quote, Department of Government Efficiency, end quote. I think there's a short, what are they calling this? DOGO or something like that.
What?
Anyway.
There's an acronym?
They're already developing
that. It's D-O-G-E, I think. D-O-G-E. Department of Government Efficiency.
Yes. Something like that. Anyway, it's not a cabinet position, so these guys have a job. Someone told me that Elon Musk is not even going to ask a salary. He's just going to have fun. Because he thinks the government is big and fat, and it's going to be their job to slim it down. This is going to be entertaining, if nothing else, when they start recommending. They're going to have what's called a leaderboard that the public, I guess, are creating a website, and you're going to be able to see on an hour-by-hour, day-by-day basis, this is how your tax dollars are being spent, folks.
Right.
There's one example already given this morning. Apparently, what was it, the Social Services Department, the big building that's in Washington that has room for hundreds and hundreds of employees, is only 7% occupied because everybody's working from home.
Oh, okay.
And they're paying like $100,000 a month of taxpayers' money, and the place is almost empty.
Now that's probably one of 100 examples.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's also the talk of moving some of these, like education department, out in Oklahoma.
I think that's a great idea. Get that started. So are you saying Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy will be
heading that part up?
The part about moving some of these agencies out of D.C.?
They'll be making recommendations.
Okay.
I do want to say that Vivek Ramaswamy and his wife only have two children, so they're slackers. Okay.
Yeah.
So
come on, man.
Let's
get going.
Fair to Pete.
All right. So Biden and Trump are meeting at the White House with the fire in the fireplace in the background. It's very cordial.
Hmm.
And
We're watching this on our TV.
Yeah, we're watching it on our TV, and they're probably talking about Remember When.
Remember when my fault, yeah. My supporters were garbage?
We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
In many ways, abortion was on the ballot this past election, and there's reason for concern. There are many counties, cities, and states who have radicalized abortion, and thousands of tiny babies will continue to lose their lives every day. Which is why the Ministry of Preborn is on the front lines for at-risk babies and mothers with unplanned pregnancies. Preborn sponsors clinics positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country by providing them with the resources they need to rescue babies. Preborn continues to expand their life-affirming care. Their end-of-year goal is to equip 10 more clinics with ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most clinics can afford. When a woman meets her baby on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. And when she comes to a Preborn Network clinic, she will also be embraced with God's love. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and now through a match, your gift is doubled. How many babies can you save? Please donate. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com AFR. That's preborn.com AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred, thank you again for listening to AFR. We're talking about Trump's new team that he keeps announcing members of each day. And, Ed, you have before you a Politico, the website, has these different, leadership positions within the Trump administration that have been announced, right?
Yes, and it has a little, like a tracker. So what I did is I went to my search bar, yeah, and typed in Trump cabinet picks, and the first one that popped up was the Politico tracker. And it has, of course, none have been confirmed yet. 6 have been announced, open 18. And it's
there
pretty handy.
There are 18 cabinet positions?
18.
Left.
That's, yeah, so, left. I mean, here, this is, well, chief of staff doesn't need to be confirmed.
That's
but
not a cabinet position.
There is secretaries of state, treasury, defense, the AG, interior, agriculture, commerce, labor, HHS, HUD, HUD, DOT, energy, education, veterans affairs, Department of Homeland Security, EPA, ODNI. I have no idea what that is.
All right.
Trade, UNC.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
Why don't we just cut those right in half?
too
many.
If we don't know what they are, there shouldn't be somebody.
No, what is DOT, Department of Transportation?
Yeah, transportation.
Is that what Mayor Pete's in charge of?
Oh, yeah.
Right now? Yeah.
Yeah.
So SBA, that'd be small business.
Fully qualified, but yeah.
What does Mayor Pete do now? Where does he go in his career? What's his path forward?
You know what, Dad? Let me just tell you what. I don't care. I don't care where he
You don't
goes.
Care what Mayor Pete does?
No.
ODNI is Director of National Intelligence. I guess that's probably pretty important, but it's also kind of deep state-y.
Yeah, but there's some of the, in all seriousness, while I do support the first step of moving them out of D.C., I also agree that the next step would be trimming this maybe not in half, but in
federal government, somebody needs to take a meat cleaver.
Yes.
to the federal government. It's just unbelievably.
I couldn't say half. I don't know if I'd cut half of these, but at least a third minimum.
Yeah. What comes with all these agencies, and you do. I mean, you have to have government. I mean, for law and order. But I'm just saying, what comes with a lot of these agencies over time is, sort of mission creep, if you will.
And yeah, they invade on states' rights. That's the problem.
Exactly, and they come up with policy and regulation after regulation after regulation after regulation.
And the thing is, their regulations are not law.
Right.
They're, but the, yeah, yeah, held,
but they have a force of law, but they're not voted on by Congress.
Right. Yep. So we'll see what happens.
We need to move on.
Today, yeah.
Oh, by the way, this DOGE, the Elon slash Vivek group that they're going to be, they're also going to be cutting regulations. It's not just carving up the bureaucracy or coming up with a plan to move these alphabet agencies around the country, kind of break up that cabal in Washington, D.C., but also these regulations we're talking about. They're going to try to cut through a lot of that so that businesses can get going. They can make more money and therefore hire more people.
Yes.
All right. Next story, Fred.
Well, let's stick with the Trump visit to the White House just for a second.
Okay. Which just took place, right?
Which just took place. You may have noted, you've been watching on TV, that First Lady again-to-be Melania Trump did not make the trip to Washington today. However, she did make an announcement yesterday as to why she was not going to go and sit down with Jill Biden. And there's a little bit of
Jill Biden, you said?
Jill Biden, okay, yes. Yeah, yeah. All right. Which traditionally, apparently part of the tradition is that the first lady-to-be meets with the first lady that's in the White House right now. Well, Melania Trump did produce a reason why she wasn't going today with her husband to the White House. There's a little bit of music behind it, but have a listen to what she had to say. Cut number 8.
I never imagined my privacy would be invaded by the government here in America. The FBI raided my home in Florida and searched through my personal belongings. This is not just my story. It serves as a warning to all Americans. A reminder that our freedom and rights must be respected.
So she's saying she declined the invitation to go to the White House today because apparently she is holding Joe Biden responsible for the order of that raid on Mar-a-Lago.
Well, ultimately, it is his responsibility. I don't know that anyone's ever going to be able to prove that he personally ordered the Mar-a-Lago raid, but it's his administration.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to take responsibility for the fact that his political enemy.
Well, he raided himself too then.
What's that?
Biden. Because they discovered all those documents that he didn't turn back in.
I think that was found by media. And then I think the
Chinatown and all that.
Oh.
You remember that?
I'm
not kidding.
I'm lost.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Continue your thought uninterrupted by
I think it was because of the media. Cover the alternative media coverage of the Biden administration that the Department of Justice had to start an investigation on Biden because he himself mentioned, I think, in a speech that he's got. Remember, he said, it's in my Mustang, but it's not like it's parked out on the street.
Yeah, Mustang.
Was it a Mustang?
That's an insult to Corvette drivers.
Oh, Corvette.
In his garage.
I don't know what it was.
In his garage.
Honda,
well, listen,
Civic.
Two things. One is the bottom line is here that Melania Trump did not go to the White House because she felt violated and offended by the raid. The FBI, was it FBI? Raid on her home.
And, broke in early in the morning.
Yeah, they were supposedly, they did have a court order to go and look for documents that they say Trump shouldn't have taken, that they belong to the National Archives, and they were sensitive. We all know that story So anyway, she just said she's not going, and that was her decision. President Trump did meet with, there's a picture now, they met a few minutes ago at the White House with President Biden.
They're playing checkers.
They're going to go to Waffle House, I think.
or McDonald's, or
maybe. All right, so anyway.
An ice cream cone.
All right, so that's good to see. That's good to see them doing that. Next story, Fred.
Well, after his visit to the White House, President-elect Trump is going to have a visit to whoever is going to be the replacement for Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, which I understand that vote. Maybe you guys are seeing something different. That vote is still continuing at the Capitol. Now, one of those contending to be the new Mitch McConnell is Senator Rick Scott of Florida. Cut number 5.
the next leader needs to be somebody that is just getting Trump's agenda done. That is the most important thing. We know what we have to do in the Senate. What we need to do is have a plan to get it all accomplished. That's what I've done my whole life. I was governor of Florida. I know what to do. I will get it done. I will make sure Trump's agenda is done, and I think that's why I'm going to win.
All right, so that's one. He's got a couple of competitors there. So we don't know the result of that vote yet, but we should probably in the next hour or so.
All right, well, we'll wait and see what happens there.
Who are the top contenders, though? Help us out.
Thune and Cornyn.
Yes.
And Rick Scott.
Rick Scott.
Yes.
Thune from South Dakota, Cornyn from Texas, and Rick Scott from Florida, yeah.
Somebody has to get 51%, so it may go to two votes.
Usually it doesn't it?
We're in
this type of situation.
Yes.
You can expect.
So we're waiting to see. But there's a lot of talk, you know, about the politics, the chemistry in the Senate. A lot of people saying we don't want another Mitch McConnell because Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump did not get along in his first round as president. So there's a lot of talk going on there,
mm-hmm.
and we want somebody who's going to get along with President Trump. So we'll have to wait. It's a very important position.
And what we don't want is someone running the Senate on the Republican side,
yes,
the majority party,
mm-hmm.
working against Donald Trump and his agenda.
Are any of them under 40 years old?
That would be no.
I don't think
no.
So.
I thought we were trying to.
Well, no. J.D. Vance, probably the youngest senator. He's 40, right?
Yeah.
By the way, he is in the vote today on this.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
Any announcement from the governor of Ohio? Who's going to take J.D. Vance's place in the Senate?
Have not seen that yet. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Somebody was suggesting Vivek Ramaswamy, but he's busy.
Yep. He is now for sure.
He's too busy.
There are certain personalities you don't see in a certain position. And Vivek Ramaswamy is a dynamic personality and strikes me as a AA personality. And he's not going to sit in the Senate chamber and listen to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and conduct business.
No, that just ain't happening.
Yeah.
So anyway, Vivek Ramaswamy is the guy I would hire if I were Trump to fire everybody.
Well, now that, yes, but the position that he's creating or they're going to do is
with Elon Musk
is in a roundabout way, he will be making recommendations on who to fire.
Yeah.
So
what agencies are part of the deep state? Who's part of the deep state?
And who needs to go and who needs to stay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I do want to, let me just be a little pessimistic here.
Go for it.
Okay. And I'm not being liberal, all right?
Just pessimistic.
But let me just remind everybody that as much as we would like to see the deep, you know, the swamp drained, is the way Trump put it in 2016, it is very difficult.
Yes.
It is very difficult to take apart a bureaucracy once it has been formed, because it is like, I talked to my son Tony about this. He said it is like a living organism that protects itself. So think about poking a rattlesnake, okay? It is going to strike back, and there is no stopping a Democratic Party candidate who might win in the future from reconstituting the bureaucracy. So it's kind of an ongoing fight to try to deconstruct this behemoth that has been created really over the last 100 years.
We're going to chip away at it, Ed.
Chip away. No, listen, I'm glad President Trump is doing this. Yeah. It needs to be done. And I hope that he's able to streamline the government quite a bit.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Best intentions are good, and I do think they have. But now, okay, not to be liberal.
Right.
As you say it.
Yeah, that's right.
Trump doesn't care about the debt, in my opinion.
I think that's – and neither do most of the other Republicans.
No, the other Republicans
do
either.
Most.
The Republicans stopped caring about the debt and deficit spending when the American people quit caring about it.
That's
– So no, none of us really care. because it's too painful for the American people to accept cuts – in government spending.
Once you've gotten used to getting the
yeah
The blessings.
Yeah, so my prediction is let's eat, drink, and be merry. Because
tomorrow we go bankrupt.
Tomorrow we go bankrupt, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. Except
wow, this is a this.
Well, I mean, what do you?
I started it. No, listen, I started.
I used to bang that drum about 10 years ago. Remember
Tea Party movement?
Yeah,
yeah, Tea Party movement. I remember thinking about man, how much in debt can a country go before it implodes? And I thought, $15 trillion. Well, of course, I didn't understand economics other than that. That's bad, right?
Well, to your point about the Tea Party, that was 15 years ago, 2009, right. And we haven't gone bankrupt yet. So you can see where people would be going.
The little boy that cried wolf.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was a little boy.
Yeah.
And you were.
I was.
We were saying they can't keep going like this, this deficit spending at trillions of dollars. Well, yes, we can. We're at 30, whatever we are.
Are we at 38 yet?
30.
I'll check.
So we the United States of America, quite frankly, and now some people say, well, no, it's causing inflation.
That's what Rob West mentioned last night.
Maybe so. I don't know. But you're always going to have inflation go and come in any kind of an economy.
Yeah, he said it could get worse, though, eventually. Rob West, meaning.
Well, he may be right. I mean,
that would be the
you
result.
You would think that he would be.
$35 trillion.
$35 trillion in debt.
Almost 30.
So what I'm saying, though, Wesley, and again, I don't mean to sound pessimistic. I'm saying that the deficit spending by the United States federal government at the levels it's at now is not going to change. So we will keep going until we have a doomsday, collapse.
Yeah, I don't think that's nobody's arguing that. I think you're right. I think what y'all are saying is, it's just it hasn't happened at the rate that we predicted.
Right,
but it's
right.
coming.
Yeah. The American economy can absorb. Well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. As long as you're the world's reserve currency, and I don't know.
The deficit for fiscal year.
We'll let y'all have y'all a few more minutes, and we're gonna move on.
We're getting over our head. But
1.83 trillion.
That's annual deficit
this year.
Oh, this year.
1.8. So that's gonna be added to the.
I'm just saying to you. I think Trump is going to do a lot of wonderful things, and his team. But cutting spending is not going to be one of them, because there's no will among the general public, and there's no will among Republicans in Congress. They give it lip service, and Democrats certainly don't give a rip.
Right.
Sure.
They would go more in debt if they could. So go ahead. You're listening to Financial News Today.
And hope we've cheered everybody up.
Yes, we have. Go ahead, Fred.
What does the name Marnie Washington mean to you guys?
Marnie Washington. Marnie.
Yeah, well, I know who she is because we've talked about her. So.
Well, she's the FEMA worker in Florida who had something helping people who were suffering from a hurricane if they had Trump signs on their lawn.
No soup for you.
Yes. Well, she is now explaining. I'll just read this. The House Oversight Committee is going to hold a hearing with FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell about all of this after one of her officials. And she is now, Marnie Washington, the worker, is now explaining why she may have done what she is accused of doing. Cut number 6.
They all allege that these actions were made on my own recognizance and that it was for my own political advances. Unfortunately, it just so happened that the political hostility that was encountered by my team, and I was on two different teams during this deployment, they just so happened to have the Trump campaign signage. FEMA always preaches avoidance first and then de-escalation. So this is not isolated. This is a colossal event of avoidance.
I don't
she's a government worker.
She just admitted to what she did.
Very literally.
Yeah.
Yes.
She said the houses that we didn't help just happened to have Trump signs.
Oh. You can't do that. You cannot discriminate against helping people based on a sign in their yard.
Views.
Now, if you want to walk up to the house and these people start cursing you, you leave. And you say, sorry, we won't bother you anymore, but here's my card. but you can't discriminate you can't discriminate against people, and you're representing the federal government, and you're there to add aid to people who have been affected by the storms, and they got a Trump sign in their yard, so you don't walk up there. That's they'll get sued all day, every day on that one, and they'll lose.
She instituted this as a policy. This wasn't just workers saying, you know what, I'm not going up there. She said, avoid them.
Yeah.
because they're Trump supporters.
Yeah, I mean, would you do that to any other group? Would you say, hey, we're here to help people in this neighborhood, but don't help the black folks? Because, right. Exactly. you might be, those 17-year-old black boys, they're trouble. So don't go up to the house.
Yeah.
What if they did that?
No, there would be a firing offense, and with absolute validity. You can't say
you can't do that.
We're not helping Jews. We're not helping Polish people.
Right. We're not helping people with a Trump sign in their yard.
It's federal money that's meant to help everyone in a disaster area.
Yeah. So I'm kind of surprised that she's kind of saying they threw me under the bus, isn't she?
Well, yeah,
my bosses are throwing me under the bus because they're the ones who told me.
She's not. What's not being answered there, and the clip may be longer, but she apparently, I'm looking here, she sent out a text that had in the text, she sent it to the FEMA workers, and in the text here, and it's a screenshot of it, it says, it's got bullet points. Do these things for best practice, it says. And number two, it said avoid homes that are advertising Trump.
So like, yeah.
But that's preemptive. That didn't say avoid homes that are hostile and have Trump signs.
Right.
This says caught with her hand.
Yeah, they're in trouble with that one there.
And I will be honest, I did not understand what she was trying to say in her own defense.
Let's play it again. Play it again, Sam.
It's a word.
All right, who are we about to hear?
This is Marnie Washington.
That's her first name.
M-A-R-N-I.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I have here.
All right. That she's the FEMA representative.
Yes.
In Florida,
mm-hmm.
who Wesley quoted, and she texted out, don't help people who have Trump signs.
Correct.
Okay, go ahead. Play it again.
They all allege that these actions were made on my own recognizance and that it was for my own political advances. Unfortunately, it just so happened that the political hostility that was encountered by my team, and I was on two different teams during this deployment, they just so happened to have the Trump campaign signage. FEMA always preaches avoidance first and then de-escalation. So this is not isolated. This is a colossal event of avoidance.
I don't know. That's garbly gook.
I think I understand now what she's trying to say. She is trying to say that, and I don't believe it because of the text.
Yeah, yes. Right,
okay.
Yes.
And this was best practices. She's trying to say that they encountered hostility.
Yes.
From people when they walked up to, and it just so happened that those all had Trump signs.
So she says.
I don't believe that for a second. If you're talking about people who are desperate for help, they're not going to say, oh, you're from the Biden administration. Get off my property. I don't buy that for a second.
Also, too, in the event, we mentioned this yesterday, hypothetically, that there was a case in which there was a Trump sign at a house that was hostile, you can't then say all.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, yeah.
That's called discrimination, and you can't practice that based on a sign in a yard.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
if you're gonna act on the principle that every...
You had that one person that was a Trump supporter.
Well, if you're going to act on the principle, which is an American principle of fairness, that you can't group everybody together because of their skin color or because of their
political views or their religious views.
Yeah, or whatever. You treat people as individuals.
That's right.
That's why we don't.
Sounds American there.
That's the American system. Now, is it always practiced? No, there's been discrimination.
And you get fired for not doing it.
What I didn't understand, what I said was garbly goot right there. What she was saying was, she says at first we practice avoidance, and then we practice de-escalation. That doesn't make any sense. Because how can you have a de-escalating situation if you've avoided them?
Right. Well, this goes back to her hostility towards those who support Donald Trump. They avoid those first, expecting that they're going to have a hostile encounter. Okay. And I guess what she's saying is sometimes they might not have signs, and then our practice is to de-escalate. But all of that is a bunch of garbage. She clearly laid out, in her text and said it verbally. Mm-hmm. This was also the report. We're just not doing homes that have Trump signs. Avoid those. And that's illegal. And she got fired. And I'm glad she did.
Yep.
And if it was, if the situation were reversed, I'd be glad that a conservative got fired.
It'd be all over the news every day, all day.
Yeah.
Different. All right, Fred, you got 1 minute here before our break.
Well, if you're an employee at CNN today, you are nervous. You are very nervous.
Why is that, Fred?
Because the management there has let it be known there's a bunch of layoffs coming. There, even the Associated Press was reporting that CNN's audiences have plummeted. They're now below, in certain cases, below MSNBC.
Wow, really?
And of course, primetime 800,000 has compared Fox 2.5 million. Yesterday, we found out Chris Wallace quit. 77-year-old Chris Wallace, whose dad was a star at CBS. And Chris Wallace had a very nice job at Fox. Why he jumped to CNN, people are scratching their heads. But apparently some of the stars at CNN have already been told. Now, don't feel too sorry for them. They're being paid millions of dollars.
Anderson Cooper gets like $20 million a year.
Oh, yeah. Jake Tapper.
Yeah.
Wolf Blitzer. They've been told they're not getting any salary increases, but they make $3 or $6 million or something like that. So don't feel too sorry. But the lower downs... be very nervous because they're going to start cutting programs.
I think the best video I saw during the on election day was Jake Tapper. Remember, he was in front of that map where he asked the guy, okay, now where is Kamala Harris outperforming Joe Biden in 2020? And the guy popped up this gray blank map of the United States. And Jake Tapper said, what? You mean nowhere?
Yeah.
That was the best moment of the election.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.